Welcome to another edition of the Mama Bear Dares podcast. We're Leslie and Tessie, and we are so excited to have another episode here of this podcast that we hope encourages women to be their best selves. We know that there's a mama bear lurking inside of each of us, and it's our hope that we channel her in beautiful, intense, passionate, lovely, and ferocious ways as we walk through this world. On today's Mama Bear Mini, our midweek episode, we will be discussing a few quotes from a book that we love called Nice Girls Don't Change the World in a segment called We Read It, We Loved It, Let's Discuss. And then we'll tackle an article about the power of community and female friendship that a Mama Bear Dares listener actually shared with us and that we love. I'm excited to get into the podcast, but first, Tessie, do you want to tell us about today's sponsors?
Yeah, today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audible.com/mamabeardares. The book we're discussing happens to be available on Audible, so after you listen, we recommend downloading Nice Girls Don't Change the World by Lynn Hybels. Thank you to all who have used our Amazon banner ad on our website. Remember, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but it does help the Mama Bear Dares podcast, so we appreciate you making that part of your Amazon purchase routine. So Leslie, we read it, we loved it, Let's discuss.
We read it. We loved it. We're discussing it right
here. Let's do it. Absolutely. Right.
So one part of this book, Nice Girls Don't Change the World by Lynn Hybels, is this beautiful phrase that she writes midway through the book. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. She says, being a good woman means trading the safe, passive, people-pleasing behavior of niceness for the dynamic power of true goodness. It means moving from the weakness and immaturity of girlhood toward the strength and maturity of womanhood.
Let's just stop for a second and say that I love that you say maturity.
I knew you were going to say that.
You did?
I knew it. When I was saying immaturity and maturity, I knew. I don't know. I've always said maturity. I think at some point I must have made a conscious decision of like, I prefer mature, not mature.
Well, I appreciate that in you. I will continue saying mature, but it's probably more mature of you to say mature. So continue.
Okay. No, I knew you were going to point that out. Often I get looks, but I've decided, you know what? I don't care.
That's right. You know what that is. It's moving from the weakness and immaturity of girlhood to the strength of womanhood. That's what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of dissect this really packed quote. I mean, it's two sentences. But let's look at just the idea of trading the safe, people-pleasing behavior of girlhood and talk about what that might mean. So when you think about letting go of girlhood, obviously lots is conjured up in that thought of just how our taste changes and our style changes and the way we look at the world changes. But to me, the thing that grabs me is that the people-pleasing behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I certainly have struggled with and still to this day struggle with. But I think that so much of my own immaturity comes from letting myself get caught up in what other people think, mm-hmm. kind of that people-pleasing behavior, making sure that everyone is okay with all the decisions that I'm making. And it can be really debilitating.
Yeah.
And so to hear her talk about the benefit of sort of giving up that nature and how the alternative is so much stronger, so much more dynamic, so much more powerful, to me is just sort of another reminder or another reason to kind of give up that people-pleasing behavior mm-hmm. of girlhood and being able to move beyond that toward that dynamic power of goodness and mm-hmm. that strength of womanhood.
Yeah. That's a journey, right? Because it doesn't matter if you read that quote and then Susie reads that quote. Even if Susie wants to let go of that people-pleasing behavior, she has to be in the right mindset and framework to be able to start building her life on that principle, though. You can read it and connect to it, you know, but you really have to be ready to do the work of just every day shedding some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I catch myself all the time. That's mm-hmm. an area for me that it can happen 10 times a day in very different situations. I was just at a meeting this morning, actually, realizing that my response to what someone was saying was really based in my need to please and not necessarily based in what I truly thought about this situation. And so it's just a constant retraining of just like, hold on a second, where is this response coming from and is it the best place to be?
Yeah.
Often, you know, when we're talking about pleasing people or wondering what other people think of us, I always think about the Eleanor Roosevelt quote that she says, you wouldn't worry so much about what other people think of you if you realized how seldom they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because I think it's really freeing for the yes. people pleaser to just be like, you know, you may think that others are sitting around judging your choices, but honestly, they're probably not. Yeah, I mean, they're not. They have other things that they're right. worried about.
I had this personal training client once, and she was the sweetest woman. We went downstairs at the Y, which for anyone who's been in an older Y in general, they know what that means. It's kind of dark and dungy. That's usually where like the powerlifting is happening. There's just a lot of testosterone. Like you get a testosterone high from the basement of the Y. And this woman was new to fitness. So I was training her and I went downstairs just to do some free weight lifting. And at one point I had her honestly just doing bicep curls and she broke down and started crying. And she said, everybody is looking at me and they're judging me because I only have 5 pounds. They're looking at me and they're judging me. And I was looking around and not a single person was looking at her. And because I knew a lot of the men that were in there, they probably didn't even notice we were in there. Mm-hmm. They were focused on what they were doing and in the mirror looking at their form. But she had convinced herself that people were so preoccupied with her that she couldn't live her life. She couldn't be in the moment because she was so concerned about them, right? And I think about that all the time because it was so alarming to see it that obvious. A lot of our preoccupation with other people is a little more subliminal, but hers was so obvious. So I think about that every time that I think people are mm-hmm. thinking about me, like, oh wait, I bet no one notices. And
no
there's
one is
freedom.
Actually noticing. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. There's so much wrapped up in that. And that's such a great example that we can see. Like I know that I'm gonna move forward in my day and think like, oh my gosh, this I'm in the weight room right yeah. now. And right now I think everyone's looking at me, but actually no one is.
Right.
And that's just so freeing, mm-hmm. you know, if we realize, like Eleanor Roosevelt says, that seldom
yeah.
are people really taking that much stock in what we do. And that's right. really freeing, I think.
Yes.
I think, too, moving from girlhood to womanhood, according to Lynn Hybels in this quote, is just recognizing what we think our limitations are and realizing that they're not really limiting us. Mm-hmm. So as a child, you really are unable to reach the top shelf, or you're physically limited mm-hmm. in some ways of what you can do. Well, we've matured to womanhood and we're less limited physically, but we have kind of told ourselves these things that, you know, we're just a mom, or we're limited by our place in life, or we're not the director of a nonprofit, and therefore, you know, our power is limited. And I think that's a lie too. And recognizing that on the spectrum, you know, with every year, with every experience, we gain so much wisdom, and, you know, we just have so much to offer the world. And so part of that movement, I think, is letting go of those ideas of, I can't reach it. I can't do it, because we can. With age comes with this great experience and this great life. And we are just so much more powerful than we realize. And I hope to embrace that as I grow older.
Yeah. And with age comes the wisdom to know, oh, I'm supposed to want to reach that, but I don't actually have any interest in reaching that. I want to focus my energy on whatever, you know, on something else that's more true to who I am. And it's why we started the podcast, right? We started the podcast because there are thousands upon thousands of women who believe they don't have a story to tell, but they're the ones that are inspiring other people around them to live the fullest life possible. And we wanted to give them a platform to show you in your living room, or you taking a run right now, or you cleaning the pee-soaked sheets from your child, that your life matters and that you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's so true, Tessie. I mean, we, in our small circle of friends, like, we see this dynamic power of true goodness and this strength and this maturity that people are walking around embodying, no matter if they're writing books or breaking records or anything like that. You know, there's just so much to be celebrated and so much to learn from. I love, we just came off of a weekend where we did 6 interviews with people you've never heard of.
Yep.
And I know that both of us, as we were reflecting on it, it's amazing what the people you've never heard of, listeners, have done. And I know we'd be amazed by your story too, of how you've, you know, walked toward that true goodness and that maturity of womanhood.
And, you know, I was reflecting on this too, that one of the more powerful parts of the weekend of kind of podcasting that we did, we interviewed women in their 50s and we interviewed women in their 30s and kind of in between. And what I notice each time is that we're all at different places in our journeys. And I think I was at a middle school track meet yesterday, and just listening and observing, that's girlhood, right? That's quintessential girlhood. And so they can't see the reason what we see is so much judgment is really just not being able to understand that people are at different points in their lives and have had different experiences. But as we kind of embrace the strength and maturity of womanhood, we realize that just because our life experiences tell us something about the world does not mean that's right. That means that's our lens. I love that about getting older, is that every year I recognize that more and more. So instead of standing in a place of judgment of a woman that seems to be closer to girlhood than to womanhood, I just kind of sit back and admire the fact that we're all going through a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And thank God for the people who have gone through the process ahead of us.
And given us grace.
Given us grace, given us, you know, terrific advice, given us silence when we didn't want to hear what, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's really beautiful. And I think that just in that small quote from that, what's actually a really small book too, it's a really short book, I think she just really kind of summed that up in this really interesting way.
Mm-hmm. And something I hope that our listeners get from our podcast and when they listen to this book on Audible is that we really are in this together. So when we do something to each other negatively, we also do it to ourselves. And so the strength of womanhood is in acknowledging that we're all in this together, right? We want to continue to push all of us forward.
So what are other real tangible ways that we can move toward that dynamic power of womanhood in our lives?
For me, I really just want to greet every day like another chance to learn something. And that to me is maybe the best example of embracing the strength of womanhood, is acknowledging that sure, I may wake up today with 10 more gray hairs, but also I can embrace the lessons I learned from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, I think it goes back to just that constant working on my people-pleasing nature. I think that's really an obstacle for me to live into that power and that wisdom of womanhood and maturity. And so I find that spelling out some actual like life rules or like work rules can be helpful for me. And I know, Tessie, in your house on your wall, you have that the wall decal that says, in this house, we do laughter and we do forgiveness and we do family. And, you know, as whatever, that might just be a design choice for you, but it also can just be like this reminder of like, okay, I do forgiveness and I have a light heart. When you start to feel like you don't, then that actually is a very tangible reminder.
Yeah.
Just like the Jesus prayer that like for hundreds of years, people have been saying this kind of mantra, this Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And it can mean a lot of different things to different people. But like, I would find myself, if I were going into like this dark place or like this place of insecurity, I would remind myself like, oh, I need to let my mantra kick in. I realize, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I need mercy, you know, and I can forgive myself. Just like everyone would forgive me if they knew my dark thoughts or whatever it is. And so for me, like the actual rules of a mantra or post it on your wall or whatever it is, kind of like having your own personal mission statement sometimes can help. So here's what I do. My family does forgiveness. My family does laughter. I value community. I celebrate life. All of those things are within those parameters that help me when I'm faced with a feeling that is not strong and that is not glorifying the, you know, God and the things that I value.
Yeah. I love that. What you're really saying is just the ability to discern what to say yes to and what to say no to. If this rings true within my soul, I say yes. If it doesn't, I say no and have no guilt about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I like
because
that.
Sometimes it might be like I might need to change a behavior.
Right.
Or I might need to change a thought pattern. But if I have something I can go back to that helps me, especially like if I'm in an emotional place,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, just even again, back to the quote of just like, think of how much more emotional you were as a teenager as compared to now. you know, I mean, we feel it in different ways, but that's part, like understanding how to deal with our emotions is part of that growing up and growing towards maturity.
Yeah. Or maturity. From the same book, Lynn says this: the best thing I ever did was tiptoe out of isolation and join the circle of women. We need to choose to believe we are all in this together. We need to accept and honor our own lives so we can accept and honor each other's lives. When we do this, when we help one another, cheer one another on, call one another to our truest and highest selves, we become a powerful force for good, for God, in this world. One of our mama bears, Amy, sent us a beautiful article called Why Women Need a Tribe by Tanya Tallyard. And my apologies if I pronounced that incorrectly. This article was posted on upliftconnect.com, so we will link to it in the show notes. But yeah, it just really reflects back to that quote by Lynn Hybels too.
Yeah, this article lists really about four main points that are a terrific complement to Lynn's book. Basically, it talks a lot about the kind of red tent of womanhood, which we've discussed on the podcast before, and how, you know, back in the old days, probably not even that long ago, women tended to rely on each other a lot more than we do now.
Well, actually, historically, America, not so much. Every other country, they still do.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I was thinking the same thing when I read this, of just like, this is such a Western thing.
Right.
This is not the majority of the world still does.
Yeah, it reminded me when we were in Ethiopia, one of the families cooked for us a few times. The grandma, the aunts, the moms, everybody was back, like, towards the kitchen. And because I was a guest, of course, I was in the front with all of the men. Dayla and I were the only females in the front entryway. But I found myself so badly being like, can I come join you? I want to be back there. They were giggling and laughing. Right. And it didn't look like they wanted to be in the front, even though that's where the eating was happening and the conversation was really going. They had their tribe and they were really enjoying it back there.
Yeah, so that's the red tent of womanhood.
Yeah.
And we have variations of that here, but we certainly don't rely on it and value it here as much as in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But that's why I really like the article, because it kind of works to convince us why you should tiptoe into that group of, or tiptoe out of isolation and join the circle of women, which really is a brave act, especially for an introvert. So just acknowledging that. But this article encourages you to do that, and then also gives you scientific research to kind of back the practice.
Yeah.
The first thing that the article talks about is just the beautiful way that women have the capacity to create this cycle of nourishment. And, you know, as women, as mothers, we really can, we have the potential to support each other and assure one another. And really being with other people, I think, and even, you know, having these conversations that we have, Tessie, it helps. I know it helps me be a better mother. And when I'm with my girlfriends and I make the time and I make the effort, that moral support and just that emotional and mental support, it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yes. I also feel like that comes with maturity as well, because I was a tomboy, and often I related more to either fellow tomboy girls or boys as a young adult slash, I don't know, well into my early 20s. And then I kind of did that at the risk of forming good female friendships at some point. And then it was like, you do get to a level of maturity where you realize that's not actually a strong connection. Even though I related well to boys and then to men in terms of athletics or whatever, there's no real connection there. I couldn't call them and just have them support and encourage me the way the tribe of women really can.
Mm-hmm. The article actually talks about how researchers have found that the hormone oxytocin, which is really important, especially for women, actually is heightened when you are together with your female friends. And that's really good news. Like, that's the happy hormone.
I mean, that they've made pills with that in them, you know. I mean, that is such a desired and wanted feeling to know that we can get that because of our female friendships is crazy. That's so amazing. And it's free. I mean, there's, you know, kind of a quantifiable amount of time you need to invest, but other than that, you get all those happy joys for free.
Right, exactly. Just being in the presence of one another, it can reduce stress, it can calm us down. Of course, those are relationships that you work for. You know, mm-hmm. we want to create healthy relationships in order for those things to happen to our bodies, but definitely worth working for.
Yeah, absolutely. And the article really speaks to the power of sisterhood. I have written a blog about this too, but it kind of tore me up initially to not have given Dayla a sister. And you and I have talked about this too, until I really realized that though I love my one biological sister, the fact that you and I, we are sisters-in-law, but you and I are as close as sisters, and we have no relation, no blood relation. And my friends are the same way, that you can create this sisterhood that feels just as powerful as a biological sisterhood. And so it got me excited and kind of took the pressure off me to give Dayla a biological or adopted sibling, sister, because you realize, gosh, as you get older, these women through no relation become your sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be great to do another episode of this podcast on just finding those people and entering, stepping into that circle of rich relationships, because I think that's really hard. I mean, you know it's hard when you move to a place, when you like enter a new phase of life. I mean, new mama friendship is so important, and I mean, give me a time, tell me a time when you are more exhausted and more fragile and more emotional than after you've birthed or brought home a child. So we should really delve into that, because I think it's hard to make those friendships.
Right.
But what we're hearing from not only the author of this article and the author of this book, and we can kind of attest to within our own experiences, is that it's so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Mama Bears, if you are new to your community or you haven't found this tribe of yours yet, this podcast should hopefully be part of your tribe. That's why Leslie and I wanted to start it, because we know this world looks different than it did before, and our online relationships can be part of our tribe when you're, you know, so busy and don't have a lot of time. Like, we built this community so that you could have another extension of your female tribe.
Absolutely. So basically, we're just like saying, will you be my friend?
We are.
Let's be friends, guys. Oxytocin for everyone.
And you get some, and you get some. We're like Oprah. Mamas, thank you so much for engaging with us and continuing to listen to each podcast episode. We are so grateful. Let us know if you have any questions we can answer, or articles or books to suggest. Like we mentioned before, the article was given to us by a fellow Mama Bear, so we will read it. If you have recommendations, hit us up. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at mamabeardares@gmail.com, or of course find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And don't forget about our online style consultation from fashion blogger Yasi Back. It is from the podcast episode released this past Monday. If you have any questions, you can find those answers on our website, www.mamabeardarespodcast.com. Go under the Dare to Listen page to rate and review us. That is all you have to do to enter the giveaway, and it's going to be a pretty awesome giveaway. You do not have to be local, because it will be via Skype. So take a listen and then submit your review.
Awesome. Mama Bears, we want to leave you with a dare today. We dare you to think about the power of the friendship in your lives. Nurture these friendships, Mama Bears, not just for the health and wellness benefits, but because your girlfriends love you and you need them and they need you. don't let immaturity or immaturity mm-hmm. or pettiness get in the way of your relationships and the work that you do in this world. Strive toward womanhood and yield the power that you hold within, the power of clarity, of wisdom, and experience. Dare to know yourself better and show your true self to the world. Do the work, Mama Bears, as you tiptoe into your circle and as you show up to honor one another and help each other find and grow into your truest and highest self. We'll be back with an interview with one of the most amazing women that you've never heard of next Monday. Have a great week, Mama Bears.
Have a great week.